Okay, go ahead. Good morning and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. I'm Paul Dottino. He's Howard Cross. We'll be here for the next hour to take your comments, questions, phone calls, Twitter remarks about the New York Giants as they prepare for their second game of the season against the New Orleans Saints on Sunday at 1 o'clock here at MetLife Stadium. Howard, we did get some late news this morning as the Giants went out to practice. JPP with a sore shoulder, not practicing today. Don't have any reason to believe it's anything more than that. And as you well know, sometimes guys just do get a day off.
You had to get days off, and now with this new schedule that you try to keep them as healthy as possible going into games. So because there's not a lot of contact during practice, it's more mental. It's easy for a guy to get a day off just to sit back and get a lot of mental preparation and good treatment.
Let's keep with him for just a second. I mean, I think everybody thinks that the front four played well in Dallas the other day. Jason certainly was a part of that. Very, very active.
He was very active. I mean, he made some plays. He missed a couple plays. He'll be the first one to tell you that he's still getting better and improving. Every day he's faster. He got great leverage on the edges. So it's going to be up to him to see exactly – you know, how much he can develop, how much he can grow in the next 16, 17 weeks.
And on the other side, Olivier Vernon, really did a good job, better against the run than I think some people expected he would.
I think when you're playing with a player like JPP, who plays well against the run, then it causes you to have to play well against the run.
A pride thing?
It is, because JPP is like he's trying to get sacks. He's trying to get to the quarterback. He's trying to get sacks. He's going crazy. But when you run at him, he makes the play. He shuts down the end. We've talked, JPV and I talked about it. He'll shut down the end or the tight end who's on him. He goes, I'm setting the edge. You're going to have to go inside of me. You're not going around me. So a player that does that and has pride in doing that, when the other player is watching, he knows, like, hey, look, I'm not a pass rusher. I'm a defensive end. I got to make every play.
All right, well, this week the Giants will take on Drew Brees, a Hall of Fame-type quarterback for sure, much different than Dak Prescott, who they played in Dallas the other day.
I think, the thing with Drew Brees is you got to get your hands up. You got to get in front of him. You got to, if you can, get to him and hit him. He's not the same as Dak Prescott because it's not going to be all underneath passes. Drew Brees will put the ball in the air for 30 yards, 40 yards, 50 yards. He's going to sling it. I mean, it's funny because he's kind of looking up like this because he can't really see this way, so he's kind of looking up and he's throwing dimes on guys, and it's amazing because he can't really see over the line, so you have to crawl out every window, make him throw out of the well, and for him throwing out of the well is throwing up and then down, gives opportunities for interceptions.
We've often talked about getting in a quarterback's windshield. With Brees, that's what Howard's saying, because he doesn't have the height. That push from Hankins and Snacks inside to get in his face is even more important than the guys on the end.
Yes, it is, definitely. I mean, the thing that all quarterbacks, it's not Drew Brees, it's all quarterbacks, they need to step up to make that throw. They need to step into the throw to get their hips and everything going. When you step into their face and push them back, they can't make that step. So now they're stepping off the back foot. They're kind of slinging it in the air. There's not the same crispness on the ball. There's not the same, pinpoint accuracy as some of these guys have. I don't care who it is, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Brady. If you step on their toes, if you're coming at their feet, they have a hard time with it.
All right, Howard, let's get to our phone calls at 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. 4513, or hit us up on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. He is at Howard Cross 87.
Yes, I am.
I am at Giants WFAN. You could also hit us up at those sites as well. James from Ecuador on line 3. You are first on today's show. Hello.
Ecuador.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Howard.
Hey,
nice.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just got an observation from last year to this year regarding the offensive line. And this is what I noticed in that Dallas game. And did you get that fly, P-Dot? Did you get him?
It was a little bit of a fruit fly or a gnat of some type. I'm not sure, but I think I got him.
That's hilarious. That's
okay.
So bad.
But anyway, I'm gonna make this quick, and I'll take your response offline. What I noticed last year to this year regarding the offensive line was that in this Dallas game, and I know it's only one game, but what I noticed was that the blockers were kind of developing their blocks and the patience of Jennings to wait for that crack, with his instincts. He would then you know, make his decision to go through the hole. I didn't see this last year. Last year I saw the running back taking the handoff and going into the hole, whether it was there or not. And I don't know whether this is a reflection of the new coach that we have, or it's, you know, maybe, you know, I mean, the blockers are the same blocker. The O-line is basically the same O-line. Mm-hmm. But what I saw on several runs was that when Jennings came up, you know, he got the ball, he came up to that line, but there was a little bit of a hesitation as he waited for the blocking scheme to develop. And that's all I could see as a major difference from, you know, from what I remember from last year.
I'm going to give Howard a key word here to build off of what you said. How about that word trust?
I think you guys are a bit of a fan right here in this moment. Let me help you out with this one. You want to know what this really is?
Go right ahead.
See, what happens in games, and for fans that are watching games, running backs and offensive lines go in what we call rhythm. Rhythm is when you're starting to block. I know that the guy that's playing D tackle, if he's in a three technique, he's almost impossible to block.
Right.
So my rhythm starts to figure out, okay, as we start to call the plays, I know where that guy's going to come free.
Okay.
The offensive lineman starts to know what he has to do to try to keep him from coming free in that area. And you start to – your rhythm starts to happen. What you're seeing in the game now, because in the past year it was one back, two backs, three backs, Vereen. One back, two back, three backs, Vereen. The rhythm comes in play when the running back starts to understand who's getting what block and why. So after you run a few plays, you start to see what's going on in front of you, and the rhythm starts to happen. That's in every game with every back. It is not a word of trust. Trust means nothing. I can trust that you won't block that guy.
No, but Howard, that's how it works. Where it applies, and I've had too many running backs tell me this, they have to trust that they know that when that block is being set up and that block is being executed, they have to trust that that block is going to hold when they hit the hole and follow through.
And again,
I've had too many backs tell me that, though. That's part of rhythm.
It's all the rhythm of how things are happening.
But that's part of that.
Yeah, the trust thing is, that's cute, but that's not really what's happening. You got to know.
If I can interrupt here for a second,
guys. Go ahead.
I see where you and PDOT are kind of taking a different views here, but Howard, I will go with your perception
he
here.
He played. You can't go with him. He played.
It's all it is. It's the rhythm. The more you play, the better you get at it.
Simply because that's why Williams isn't on the team anymore. I mean, he can have all the trust. I mean, he was just running in the back of people. He was running into holes that weren't there. You know, he didn't have that rhythm, or he didn't understand the blocking schemes or whatever the case. And I think Howard had, pretty much hit it on the head there.
Yeah, that's all it is. And I appreciate your call. But you'll see all backs around the league and all offensive lines around the league, because it's the same thing like in the pass protection. When the quarterback drops back, he starts to realize who's coming free, who's not coming free. He gets in the rhythm. And that's what we were just talking about with Drew Brees. Drew Brees knows that he can't accept anybody on his feet. Once a quarterback understands it, you'll see a guy step, step, slide to the right, step, step, slide to the left. If he goes out of the rhythm of what's going on, he gets hit because, hey, he held the ball too long. Oh, he stepped too close to the front. Oh, he stepped too far back to give the edge rushers a chance. So you have to understand everything's a sequence and a rhythm for players to get it. And if you have the same group going together the whole time, the rhythm starts to happen, starts to work.
And then it looks pretty.
It does. Looks like a dance.
And it certainly did on that last Giants drive.
Yeah, because they had it. Like, it's
it
you know,
was
boom.
Ooh.
Okay, we
they were
know
playing some music right
yeah,
there.
I got this guy. I know this guy's going to come here. I take a step here to help the lineman by taking my step and leaning, put him in a better position so when he gets his block, it's easier for him to hold.
All right, thanks for the call. Jonathan, you are on line 4 from Florida. It says you're a first-time caller. Glad you could join us. Hello.
Yes, hello. How are you guys?
Very good.
All right. I just wanted to say thank you guys so much, and thank you to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Mm-hmm. I grew up, I didn't really have anybody that really taught me about football, so I listen a lot to the show, and I learned so many things position-wise, all that stuff. I didn't even know what a guard was, linebacker, so I learned a lot, and I just wanted to say thank you so much to you guys.
Appreciate your interest.
I wanted to ask a question. I saw in the game with the Cowboys, number 91. I didn't look at the roster before I called.
Okay.
But I noticed that that guy was missing a lot of tackles and stuff like that. And I also saw that in the scheme, they were trying to, like, I guess, keep the yards short and not letting the quarterback reach to the, I guess, to the second level, to the safeties. Is that normal for them to, like, miss tackles? I don't know, like, kind of, I guess, play more inside instead of letting them make big plays down the stretch.
You're probably thinking about the short passing game as opposed to playing the ball deep. Mm-hmm. I think that Dallas, with a young quarterback, you try Dak Prescott. The tell of the tape on Dak is he's great with the crossing, the short patterns and stuff. He's not as accurate with the deep ball. So they played and called the game to his strength. He threw the ball way too many times for me for a rookie quarterback. I don't know what that was about. Even mm-hmm. I think the fact that they couldn't get Ezekiel Elliott going kind of put him in a difficult position as a quarterback, as a young quarterback, and they're calling the game in that way. Now, maybe they saw this. Maybe they're going to look at this and think, hey, look, the other running back, he had great rhythm. He understood what was going on. He ran the ball better.
But Alfred Morris.
Yeah, Morris did a good job, and that enabled them to do more with the passing game. But every coach, you're feeling your way through. You're trying to do what you think is best for your player. That Dak Prescott all preseason long had a great effectiveness with the short passing game. Guys are catching the ball everywhere. That's why you don't see as many Dez Bryant catches, because Dez Bryant's their deep guy. All right, so but that's what it is. It's nothing specific. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. By the way, Jonathan, 91 is Kelvin Shepard, who has won the starting middle linebacker job. I thought he did okay.
He made a lot of tackles. I think, like I said, in the middle passing game, I don't remember him missing tackles. I just remember the ball being, thrown underneath. They're trying to keep the ball in front of them. They did a good job of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Abdul, you're on line two from Minnesota. Hello.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
You have a question. If other positions like cornerback have to learn multiple positions, like cornerback runs safety and cornerback, and receivers learn slot and outside receivers and defensive ends play left and right, why is it such a holy grail kind of bugaboo for a right tackle to learn left tackle or left tackle to learn right tackle? Like, why are other people expected to learn multiple positions, and what is so difficult about going from a left to right and tackle? Like, why is that some kind of, we can't do that mid-season? Like how can they make the change?
I always remember this. It's like playing basketball when, you see guys cross over and dunk. There are guys in the NBA that only play right-handed. They make jokes about, oh, he's a righty. You don't go both ways going to the goal. Just like you're that way in every other skill you do, you're that way when you're playing. So if you've learned to go to the left,
I understand that, but how come other positions are you're meant to learn both multiple positions, but tackles you can't do that?
He's getting there.
I'm trying to get there.
Okay.
I'm trying to get there. All the other positions are able to. They're going from side to side to do these things. The tackles specifically are put that way because the left tackle usually protects the blind side of the quarterback. He's the more gifted foot guy. He in theory. His feet are mm-hmm. supposed to be better. He's supposed to be able to slide to get to the guy. He's put on an idling a lot to do the blocking. The right side of guy mm-hmm. is usually the guy that's supposed to be the big, powerful, dominant guy. The other pass rusher doesn't necessarily he's a good pass rusher, but that guy that he's playing against usually understands, theoretically, he's the guy that stops the run. Mm-hmm. The left side guy has to protect the speediest, most gifted pass rusher. The right side guy is supposed to be able to dominate the bigger guy on that side. When players mm-hmm. switch from right to left, they're trying to find a weak spot. So they will switch a defensive end that's having problems against that gifted tackle to try to roll them all the way over to the other side to play against that tackle. But just to make you understand, that doesn't happen with all players on the field. Some players mm-hmm. only play right side and left side. Particularly yeah. cornerbacks will only play on the right side and only play on the okay. left side. So tackles are the marquee spot because you pay a guy a lot of money to be gifted with his feet to be able to do that. There are a lot of times there are tight ends that grew into that spot or they were just really good athletes or good basketball players, and they wound up that spot. The right guy is a good player too, but he's not the same athlete as the guy on the left. That's what happens.
One further question. So when you have a young player like Eli Apple learning slot and outside, would that help? Would that hinder his development as a quarterback?
No.
Or that doesn't really matter?
No, because great corners, if you see them around the league, great corners travel. Mm-hmm. We picked it up with Darrell Revis, but I go back to like Prime Time and Daryl Green. Great corners travel to the best receiver. They are there to stop that guy. They're the hired gun of the defense. Wherever you go, I go. You go take a break, I'll be waiting on the sideline. When you come back, I'll walk you back to the field.
Okay.
That's what that's about. So like, when you watch the kid down in Washington, what's his name?
Norman only plays one
side of the field. Right. And I know everybody talks about how great he is. He's a pretty good corner. He's a good corner if he's on that side. You watch the Pittsburgh game, they're like, all right, well, he's holding our guy, and it's close. I think he can beat him. But man, why do we have to worry about that? Let's just go to the other side. Touchdown.
Sure.
Okay, then we'll go back and play with Norman for a little bit. Okay, how you doing, Norman? You doing good? You feel good? You covering me? You good? Okay, I'm going to go back over and catch a touchdown. I'll be back in a minute. And you just go to the side that works.
Right.
I mean, it's a chess match. You're always trying to find the best matchup. In his case, he plays on one side of the field. He's a high-paid guy, but he only plays that one spot.
I would also add one other thing about the tackles. If you are a veteran and you want to hang around longer in this league, you got to be a swing tackle. You got to be able to play left tackle and right tackle, because you can find yourself as the swing tackle 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years in this league,
which means
extend your career.
Which means you're not starting. But the marquee spot.
But it'll keep you in the league, though, Howard.
The marquee spot, it's kind of like corners to safeties.
Yeah.
The marquee spot is left tackle. Then when you
start to move some steps, you slide. I guess the question I wanted to ask was, would it be that detrimental for our left tackles but I'm forgetting his name.
Flowers.
Starting left tackle.
Flowers.
Right. Would it be that detrimental to him to learn both tackles, or you just want him to concentrate on left right now?
He's a big athletic kid. He's an aircraft carrier, someone called him one time.
Right.
You want him to be as good as possible. When he loses his skills or his feet start to get a little slow, he can migrate over to right tackle to buy him a few more years in the league. But you want to get the best use of him while you have him. Right there.
Okay.
Now, if you draft a tackle or bring in a premier left tackle and you give away the boat or give away the house, then you ask him to step over. But until you get someone that great, you take the kid that's the most athletic kid, you put him out there, and you try to school him and coach him up the best way you can.
Makes sense. All right, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay. No problem. Thanks very much. Sean from California, you're on line one. Hello.
How you guys doing today?
Hi.
Very good. You?
I just wanted to talk about our running game. Like, I was so glad about our defense, how we held up, and, you know, how everybody just watched, like, we was like missiles trying to get to the ball. Like, in previous years, you know, they'll catch the ball and they'll run it on us, and it seemed like we never wanted to tackle. And then this year, everybody was pushing to the ball and trying to tackle and tackling, and I love that.
Howard, you're going to like this. Sean, before you go anywhere with your second point, I want to mention something to you. A pro scout who I know very well, he's been in this business 40 years. I was talking to him this week, and he said, I hadn't seen the Giants much in the preseason, so I was really anxious to watch the Dallas game. And he said, the thing that struck me that I haven't seen from the Giants the last several years is that on defense, they usually had two or three hats on the ball all the time. There weren't that many individual one-on-one tackles, but because they were getting after it, and guys were really hustling, helping each other out.
That goes with the athletic ability grew. Right?
Well, some speed, too. Added speed.
With drafts and understanding that and bringing new players in, and that helps tremendously. So when you got athletes, they understand the system, they're playing together, they know where everybody is, and they have a plan, they were executing their plan perfectly.
Yeah.
That
impressed him a lot. He thought that was a real good sign.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. And my question today is, for our defense stopping the run, I think we did an outstanding job stopping, you know, Ezekiel Elliott with Dallas's offensive line. But then again, it was Ezekiel Elliott's, you know, first game in the NFL. You know, we're going against a lot of tough running backs this season, such as Adrian Peterson, Eddie Lacy, Todd Gurley, and Le'Veon Bell. Mm-hmm. And my thing is, You know, if we can be able to stop the run, it forces teams to throw on us. And, you know, I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on, you know, was it just Ezekiel Elliott's, you know, his first game in the NFL, and he said he wishes he had some plays back. But I wanted to know, like, how would that change our season if we'll be able to, you know, keep Adrian Peterson for under 50 yards, such as the other running backs I mentioned. And just if you guys can elaborate on that, and I'll take you guys
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it. Let me give you the numbers, Howard. 30 carries for the Cowboys for 101 yards. Mm-hmm. Their longest run from scrimmage was 13 by Alfred Morris. Mm-hmm. And that in itself is also a good number, because running backs will tell you, if they can rip off a 25, 30, 40-yard run, that'll add to their total in a hurry.
Well, here's what's happening. Damon Snacks Harris, right? I don't think people realize who he is and what he kind of brings to a team. He's a run stopper. He's one of the best run stoppers in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He had the highest average and graded out higher than almost every D tackle in the NFL. As far as, you know, Ezekiel Elliott goes, and was he effective, was he not effective, I just think that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, things hyped onto his back where he's going to be the greatest thing coming. Guys, everybody gets paid to play. So that's going to be part of it going forward. Now, Adrian Peterson, who is a legend, first ballot Hall of Fame guy, he had like 60 yards running. So, like, it's not just Ezekiel Elliott. First game, figuring things out. You got to get that rhythm. You got to know what's going to happen. If you're going there thinking, hey, look, we're just going to blow people off the ball, never happens that way. You got to wait your turn. As for Alfred Morris, even though he didn't have great success, he had better success because he was able to, okay, let me wait, let me watch. I can see from the sideline who's blocking who. Let's go. Ezekiel's going to learn that. Zeke's going to learn that. I mean, he's not playing Ohio State where everybody's an undermatched when you line up against him. He's playing against guys who are getting paid. And, you know, preseason's great. Even Dak's seeing that. Preseason's great, but, okay, there are a lot of guys out there getting paid, and they all are trying to make it.
Got a couple of Twitter items I want to get to, Howard. We have Will, who's at SpainMan1991, says, today's my birthday, turning 25. Can I get a birthday shout-out?
Hey, happy birthday, Will, 25. Oh, don't I remember. Actually, it's been so long ago, I don't. That's a long time ago.
For me too, Howard. A.J. Marshall says, will B.J. Goodson make his NFL debut on Sunday? How's he looking at practice? Well, remember now, he had concussion protocol, got cleared, was back at practice last week before the Dallas game, but that was a healthy scratch.
Okay, so that means there's a lot of linebackers. Now with the loss of J.T. Thomas, he might get a shot to get in there.
Possibly, because he's good on specials.
Yeah, so he's going to get a chance in the specials. He might get some shots in the game. Again, he's a big-bodied guy, big run stopper. He gets after it. In this game, you got to be fleet of foot. There are a bunch of little receivers running. It's going to be like ants like you put on your picnic plate. Ants are going to be all over that bad boy. So you got to get ready for this game.
Chris Higley, 88, says, I would like to see more Victor Cruz, Odell Beckham Jr. plays. Should we see a lot of this on Sunday?
I think, you know, Eli is a brilliant quarterback, and I mean that not just because he's a Giants guy, but he is a brilliant guy. I think that, you know, for all you fantasy guys, because that's a fantasy-type question.
I'm sure it is.
Remember this. There's one football, and there are a lot of great targets on this team. You got Victor Cruz, you got Shepard, you got ODB, you got Larry Donnell, you got Will Ty, you got Vereen out of the backfield, you got Harris if he's playing, you got Davis if he gets in the game. You got a lot of dudes.
Well, Jeremy's not getting in because he's practice squad now.
Okay, well, then whoever else.
But he's about the only guy who's not getting the ball.
Who's the young guy that we got? The other receiver that was there.
King,
my bad. So you got King as a good receiver. Everybody can't get 7 or 8 receptions a game.
I think Eli hit 7 or 8 different targets in Dallas the other day.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Jennings, he catches the ball,
too.
So everybody's catching the ball. It's like tackles in the game right now. Hey, man, I'll be a blocking tight end. Just give me a, you know,
I'll tell you one guy who's not getting the ball.
Who?
Brett Jones coming out of the fullback spot. He's not getting the ball.
Hold on for a second. Be careful you said that.
I can see Brett in the flat catching, rumbling, bumbling, and stumbling. Be careful you said that. You never know.
I bet you he'd like to get one.
Oh, he will. He'll be like, he's out there now warming up with his hands. Like, I still got him, Coach.
Okay. A.J. Marshall had one other question for us. He wanted to know about defensive tackle. Robert Thomas has an illness. He is still not cleared to practice yet. Coach said he's ill. I don't have any medical information on it, but he's not cleared to practice, so you won't see him on Sunday against New Orleans.
Get better, sir.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I think that takes care of our Twitters. So let's go back to the phone calls, and we will go to Jason, line 3 from Denmark.
Man, we are universal right now, bro. We're all over the world.
Truly worldwide, yes. Hello.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, very good. What time is it in Denmark?
How are y'all doing today? It's 7 o'clock at night. I called yesterday, and they asked the same thing.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, but see, 7 o'clock for you would be dinner, and you're hungry. Right now it's 12:30 here in New York, and I'm hungry for lunch.
I'm hungry all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter
what
time
it is. I'm actually a Queens boy.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm retired from the military, so I decided to come over here.
Thank you for your service. You know. We always appreciate when the military call us.
That's great.
Hey, real quick to help out that guy that asked about Victor Cruz and OBJ. I was listening to an interview with Eli the other day, and this is what I love about Eli. They asked him about sharing the ball and so on, and he said, you know, half the time, I don't even know who's under the helmet. I see the play, I throw the ball. And if you holding a ball for a certain player, that's probably the wrong thing to do.
Absolutely.
So agreed. If people get open, you get it to them, you know. After the fact, you say, oh, I threw you 4 balls. Great. Thanks. Yeah, you know?
Right.
That's all it is.
But
I would add one thing for you. I would add one thing before you go, though. I do want Howard to touch on this because we talked about it on the post game in Dallas.
Okay.
Oh, Victor, don't cut me. That was his question. Don't cut me.
No, yeah, stay. Go, no, stay.
He, no, let him ask.
All right, go. But I want to touch on this again. Go.
Okay. Last year, we were really opportunistic in the first half of the season. Now that we have an upgraded defense, do you think we're going to be as opportunistic this year? And the last thing I'll ask is, you know, everybody was talking all kinds of things about our offensive line. I'm going to try to call in every week. I'm going to ask what the Big Blue kickoff line grade of the offensive line. I'm going to take a tally all season long. And at the end of the season, I'll call in and say this is where we ended up. Because I believe we have the people in the offense to make it happen. But, you know, Charlie's and the Charlie's of the world don't agree with that. They want to change the whole right side. And I think we could do it. And, you know, and even Marshawn Lewhouse from Football Pro Focus said, you know, they said he was one of the best players, you know, in the offense,
he graded,
you know,
the highest,
last Sunday. Yeah, he was rated the highest.
Right. Graded as the highest right tackle in the league last Sunday.
Okay, well, let's take your 2 points. Now, don't go anywhere. Are you listening on your computer? Because I do want you to get a point from Howard after you're gone.
All right, so here's okay. The first thing. Let's do the grade.
No, I'm on my cell phone.
Stay right there.
I'm
don't go anywhere.
Working out.
Don't go anywhere. You're great for the
okay.
line.
The grade for the line, they got a B+. I thought they grew into a good play. I think it's probably more like an A- because at the end of the game when you need to do the 4-minute drive,
right.
They did it. Now, the reason why I don't give them like a – I'm going to keep it to B+ is because everybody wasn't there for Dallas. So we got to wait till everybody
right.
play a team that everybody's there, see how they continue to grow, continue to get confidence. But they did a good job. I think that, you know, compared to other teams, you're going to see things. My favorite thing that no one talked about the whole time was every time that Jason Witten, who we consider a great blocking tight end, went up against the defensive end, he got knocked like 3 or 4 yards into the backfield. And I'm like, wait a minute, Witten's getting blown up too. So why are we always complaining about how our tight ends are blocking? So it's all a part of the game. And I think it's fun.
And I think Eli Apple actually had him in the backfield one time too.
Eli ran over him. That's terrible.
I'll go B+ also on the line, but my taking it down a notch is different than Howard's. See, and I know some of the players talked about this the other day too. In a perfect world, you run the last 4 minutes off the clock. You don't give Dallas the ball back with a minute to go.
Well,
I'm being fussy.
In a perfect world, you go down and score.
Yeah. And they did give the ball up with a minute to go. So yeah. I'm taking a grade off of there. So I'm going to go B plus for that reason. And then the other question was about opportunistic and causing turnovers. I guess that's what you're after.
Yes, that's what you saw.
They could have had maybe three that just didn't bounce the right way.
Well, bouncing the right way, it is a little bit of bouncing of the ball. But, you know, I think everybody anticipated there being a lot of turnovers because of the rookie quarterback. And you can scheme him. You can't really just scheme anything. It has to be in the flow of the game. You have to have receivers that, you know, aren't really going for the ball. You got to be so close to the receiver that sometimes he just wants to tip it instead of catch it. Mm-hmm. So, and when those cases come, and then you have to be in the right place all the time. They know to avoid Dominic Rodgers-Camardi, just stay away from his side if you can. Go after the other guys. And the other guys are good players too. And the other players, you know, the things that we were talking about with Jackrabbit Jenkins out there was that he is a gambler. But, you know, in this system, they're asking, hey, look, keep the gambling down. Let's just play. If it comes to a point where we need a big play like that, we'll cut you loose. But for now, let everybody get lulled to sleep a little bit. They're going to make plays because they're hustling to the ball. They're going to get opportunities because they're hustling to the ball. But, you know, as for being opportunistic, I think that's a little overstated because turnovers are usually a product of accidents by the offense.
Yeah. Now, hold on a second. I want to get to your point about the receivers and Eli knowing the receivers. Victor Cruz did not run the route as it was supposed to be run on the winning touchdown catch the other day. Howard and I talked about this on the postgame show. This was a matter of Victor improvising, feeling where the seam was in that zone, and Eli, knowing what Victor was going to do, finding him for the score.
When a player standing by himself without a player within 5 yards of him in the end zone, you just try to throw it to him. I know the play may be designed to go to the right or go to the left. Like, oh, dude, that dude's standing by himself. Oh, just catch it. Let's go to the next play. So that's kind of what happened there.
Yeah. So good for Victor Cruz. Yeah. Thank you so much. All right. Appreciate the phone call. 201-939-4513 is our phone number. It looks like Joe from Tampa, you are next. And, again, we're going to Florida this time.
I like it.
Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Very good.
I just wanted to kind of talk about, like, last Sunday's game and kind of a little bit about this Sunday's game coming up, but – I just wanted to talk about, like, how everybody was hyping up Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, and now we're not hearing not one thing about the guys. Like, I just love how that happens. And then I'm even looking on ESPN, and Stephen A. Smith is saying that, oh, we got lucky. I mean, yeah, I think the guy running out of bounds, that was a bonehead play, but, I mean, that happens in football. I mean, I honestly think the Cowboys were lucky we didn't get one turnover or any sacks that game. I think that was pretty lucky. But, I mean, honestly, with Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, I think, honestly, he's a good running back. I think our defensive line is, like, downgraded right now. Nobody's, like, giving them, like, credit for how they play. I mean, I think this is going to be one of the best defensive lines in the game. Ezekiel Elliott, I don't know about him right now because, I mean, I just seen one game. But I honestly think he's going to be a good running back. And then the Saints game coming up, I think it's just going to be like a flip in the ship. Like, we're just going to see a whole passing game now. We're going to see a whole new piece of our defense that we didn't really get to see last game because it was just dink and dunk rookie throws.
Well, let's do this. For you with Ezekiel and Dak Prescott, and I'm talking from the media side, remember, when we sit on this side of the cameras and on this side of mics, we have to overhype every moment. So if you have a moment, it's either you're the worst team in America or the best team in America. either like Dak Prescott had some success in preseason. This kid's a Hall of Famer. Tony Romo's done. We're like you move on so quickly, and you have to retract your statement so quickly.
You want an example of that?
And that's
by the way?
What guys do.
Do you know in Dallas, the Dallas Morning News, the big time newspaper down there?
Okay.
9 of their writers on Sunday morning had to pick the game. Mm-hmm. 6 of them picked the Cowboys outright to win, and every single one of them was hanging that victory on Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
So that tells you what you're talking about.
So like I said, every guy who's on this side, you know, you want to be heard. I want to be heard. I want to say something that's important. I want you to see me. I want, you know, so I gotta make a bold prediction. It's overreaction. Dak Prescott's a decent quarterback. The knock on him is the long ball, you know, and when teams start to squeeze that, you know, the intermediate passes, he's going to have to figure out how to get it along. Ezekiel Elliott, as a good back, unless Ezekiel Elliott just can't figure out how to press the hole and wait for his blocks to develop, he's going to be a back. And then, you know, if it's me, if I'm Ezekiel Elliott, I'm watching Alfred Morris and seeing what he was doing, why he was having a little bit of success.
Yeah,
he's just got to be smart and work through it.
And like by the way,
don't buy into what they're what. And if Stephen A. Smith of all people.
by the way, Mark Ingram ran 16 times for 80 yards against the Giants last year. You can't fall asleep on him.
Yeah, I mean,
he's good back.
I don't think the Saints backs are anything. At the same time, I want to talk about the fact that they're going to hype up a preseason thing. Yeah, I mean, that's just what they do. But at the same time, when it all falls apart and we expose it, can you at least give us some love? I mean, come on. I mean, you're gonna say we got lucky. I mean, we shut down a running back and we shut down show us some love. That's
Stephen
all I'm saying.
Stephen A. Smith talks. He's another screamer. I mean,
and he compared him to Trent Richardson, Ezekiel Elliott. Oh, he compared them.
Like I said, first game. That's the first game. Like I said, now he's decided this kid's entire career after one game. You know, and I don't wish bad on anybody. I wish everybody has a great career and lives on and does everything. But, you know, a lot of times the people who are sitting outside that has a mic in his hand and he's trying to get an audience, he'll say whatever he wants to say. He doesn't have to back it up.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to back it up. So if he doesn't have to back it up and he keeps talking, he ain't going to back it up.
And then next Sunday, if Ezekiel has a great game, he's going to be like, I told you this guy was great. You know,
he'll sit there with his hands folded and be like,
all right.
That's good.
All right, Joe.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. We're going to another new state on this show today. Phil is in the Carolinas.
Nice.
Hello, line two. You're next.
Phil down there getting off the back nine.
Thank you. appreciate your show. Appreciate all the different people on it.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
I have two. Yeah, thanks. I got two things. One is, and I'm going to, ask you the first one. You can kind of maybe research and I'll get back to my point, but. My hypothesis is that it seems like this Eli has a down quarter, or maybe two quarters, and I'm going to say those down quarters tend to be the first, not in this last game, the first and the third quarter. And my thinking on that is that he has to kind of start feeling out either what the defense is doing initially or how the defense just reacted to the first half. And then after that, he gets a little more at ease, and then he's better. So my question is, if you guys can research how many touchdowns he has per quarter, and I'd like to see if that kind of thinking is at least supported somewhat by the information we got. So, if you guys can start looking at that, I'll get to my second thing, and maybe we'll have the answer to that second part or that first part. So my second part is and I'm glad Howard is here. I'm not going to pick on him, but you know, a couple of weeks ago, I remember it was kind of Charlie was getting beat up pretty bad,
mm-hmm.
and Howard was on . And so my thought on it is that this is going to sound hard, is that, you know, I think the, you know, we're, you know, I know I'm a lifelong Giant fan, been following a lot longer than Howard and so forth. But my thought is that we are a little bit skeptical right now of the brain trust because we've had 3 years of losing.
Well, that's true. Let me ask you something
Let me finish. Based on that, factor that in the discussion. In that, the brain trust unfortunately has lost some of the basically trust them type of thinking. So, mm-hmm. Go ahead, Howard.
This is what I would think. If we were the Pittsburgh Steelers, we would have had three coaches over the last 60 years almost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're not. We are in New York. And in New York, we kind of fall away from the idea of letting things develop and go through it. In the Reese regime, they've won two Super Bowls. I'm not defending or condemning Jerry Reese and their regime. I'm just not. I just think that the success that you have to take the success. But because we live in an instant society, you can win a Super Bowl this year. What did you do for me lately to next year? Well, it's been 3 years. What are you going to do now? If you could win the Super Bowl every year, it would be awesome. You just can't. And it takes time to develop players and have things go your way. Missing the playoffs, doing all these other things. He's on his own, you know, lifeline for himself right now. Like I said, not condemning him or you know, giving him praise. I'm just saying that's just his life. In our lives, as we do things, you're a victim of, and I don't want to use Stephen because Stephen's, I know Stephen A. Smith, but you're a victim of that scenario. You're a victim of, hey, look, this is what's happening. We're going to throw hot coals on, or we're going to throw flowers on every time someone opens their mouth on the air. And then the fans feel it. They start to get into it. They love it. And you roll with the thoughts that you're hearing. A lot of times you have to watch and try to figure out what's going on. If you could do that, it'd be great. But you don't have a mic. And when you have a mic, you have an open forum to make any view you want. Now the view's been set. Tom Coughlin's gone. Jerry Reese, we're putting you on notice. Hey, let's go. So now all the fans are like, hey, when are we going to win again? I'm like, you just won like 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. You put a Super Bowl down. Now you're hunting, trying to get your team together for that next run. Players get older. No one stays the same. Things keep changing. Some people say, like, all these other teams have great drafts. Are they winning Super Bowls? This team's got a great line. Are they winning Super Bowls? This team can figure out this. Are they winning Super Bowls? No. So let's work our way to, as a fan, try to constantly look at the positive. And as far as the Eli thing goes, Eli, some games he has great games first quarter through fourth quarter. Some games he has great games second and third. Sometimes it's second and fourth. There's no real systematic way of proving it, unfortunately. And the reason why is because if you think of it, and it's not just Eli, this is all teams, the first 15 plays are scripted. So you're not really letting the quarterback be the quarterback in the first 15 plays of a game. You have pretty much scripted, hey, this is what I want to run. If you check out of it, you got to check out of it because it's just not there. But this is what I want to run the first 15 plays. The other thing you have to realize is that the defenses that you're playing against, they're scripted for the first 15 plays. So they're trying to go a little bit outside the norm a little bit, and they want to hit you with what's working best to see how you're going to react to them. So there's a filling out process by the offense and the defense. Then you go into the third quarter. There's a little bit, hey, this is what they're killing us on. Let's try to stop that. This is what they're not doing well. Let's try to take advantage of that. So there's a little bit of that that goes on, and all the teams are doing it. There are a lot of – man, can I tell you, there's a lot of conversation, a lot of bodies looking at and pointing and trying to explain it to you. There, you know, I remember we used to get like the little printout pictures that you have to like hold them down to look at them. Now they got, you know, Microsoft has done a great job having them there where you can point to the player stuff. No video, but just, you know, nice, clean, crisp flip. Oh, that's what happened on this play. Flip. Now that's what happened. Now I have to fold it up, unravel it, and it's sticking to my gloves. Like
technology, Howard.
Everything's happening. So yeah, I think it's more of, you know, as the game progresses. We were talking about the rhythm with the running game. Quarterbacks have rhythms also.
Just so you are aware, and it's not really relevant because, as Howard said, the situations really vary from game to game. Eli's quarterback rating over the course of all four quarters, he is over 80% for his career in each individual quarter.
Yeah.
Just so you know, they're as low.
Okay.
He's as low as 80.2% in the third quarter is his lowest quarter. And his best quarter is the second at 87.4%. That's not much variance.
Yeah, it's like 2 points here and there. It's not
That's not much.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, that's good information. But, don't think I don't appreciate you guys. I do. But I guess I'm putting a little balance on here in that, you know, just consider that we've been kind of down for a couple of years and we're anxious. And I don't think we expect a Super Bowl every year, but we would like a winning record, though.
So, I got you. I totally
stay
understand.
Tuned okay. This season, okay?
Howard was one of my favorite players.
Thank
cool.
You.
You know, yeah.
Thank you very much. That's very
okay,
nice.
So, all right. Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks so much for the call. 201-939-4513.
That's everybody getting on to me a little bit about being mean to Charlie when he was talking about players that weren't on the team and why aren't we just going out and finding guys and how he wanted to fix things. And I'm like, it doesn't really work that way. But and like people are like, I got Twitter hits like, hey, man, you're being mean to Charlie. I'm like, you know, so Charlie, I'm sorry.
Charlie cares.
Yeah, Charlie
that's
cares.
Cool.
Charlie likes it.
Armando from Florida, you're Armando. Next, and you want to talk about tight ends. Well, you got a show right here to talk about tight ends.
How you doing, guys?
I'm very good, and you?
I'm great. I was watching the replay between the Giants and the Cowboys, and I just have a strong feeling that we're not going to see Larry Donnell next year as a starter. You know, by all means, he's a great pass catcher, but he cannot block anything.
I just pointed out how we were watching the game, and every time that Jason Witten, who's considered one of the best blocking tight ends in the league, was getting blown 5 and 6 yards in the backfield at point of attack, and I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, if Witten's getting done like that, then there's nobody blocking. And it's just – it goes from team to team, player to player. The blocking part of the game – that's the hardest thing to teach, especially when there's no – I don't want to be mean to players around the league. There's no emphasis on them blocking. Like you don't.
I mean, he's not playing for our team, but I really like the Steelers' tight end, Jesse James. He's a really good blocker. He's a rookie. I think no, he's a second year, but he's a really good blocker, and that's something that we don't have. I mean, Will Tye, he's starting to learn.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about Jarrell Adams, and he's a great blocker. But I really would like to see Will Beatty jump in there on jumbo packages and you know,
and
get that run
and roll
going.
Somebody off the ball.
Because everybody was talking about how we couldn't stay on the field to pretty much get the to pretty much finish games, and on that two minute drill,
I
see Beckham go right behind Larry Donnell, and Larry Donnell just gets flattened on his back.
But if you go back and watch your tape of the Cowboys game, what you'll see is that Brett Jones came in and he was the fullback pseudo H back on that last drive to help the Giants grind out the ball.
Well,
have used an offensive lineman in a different package.
But what he has to do is, I know he's a Giants fan, so he's watching our tight ends block, and he saw Jones the other night, and he thought he did a good job. You have to watch him full year. He may have had a good matchup. Most teams you're going to see, they're just not blocking tight ends. If you're a blocking tight end, you're a bit of an albatross on the team that is, you're so unique.
Well, and Will Johnson would have been.
Again.
He's on IR for the
season.
All
I'm going to say is, I watched him. I didn't see him blowing guys off the ball.
Well, he didn't play much.
I know, but I watched him in practice. I watched him in practice.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't watching him blowing guys off the ball.
He did with the Steelers, though, before
we
got here.
Okay.
Right. He was good at it.
Again,
that's why they brought him in.
Again, I keep hearing all these great things. Like, everybody's looking for me to show back up or a person like me. Not going to happen.
No, no. I got him now. No one else is getting him. I got him right here.
It's just not going to happen. I mean, kids go to 7-on-7 passing camps. Kids go to all this stuff. That you don't see a blocking camp for kids. And when they get in games, unless you're playing at a Michigan or an Alabama, and even then, you know, you might get one kid who's trying to block, but that kid's blocking against kids who can't play. So you might be dominating the guy like I played against. You know, I always tell people, Derek Thomas, Kenneas Bennett, and then, you know, Brooks and LSU and other guys that were, like, monstrous. And all first-round picks, I had that my entire career. If you don't have that, like you're a big guy and you're blocking, but you're not blocking anybody, you can. Man, he's a great blocker. Who'd he block? then he gets in the league and this guy's making like, you know, the guy standing across him is making $7 million a year to run over everybody. He's not blocking that guy. Like a tight end is not going to come into the league and go like, I'm going to block JPP. I won't block him. I'm going to block Vern. Well, you're not going to block him either. So who are you going to get to block?
They all want to be Jimmy Graham now.
Hey, I do too. You're going to pay me to do that. But I tell players all the time, you stay in the league longer if you develop abilities to block.
I understand it's tough because I'm not going to lie. Vernon was really handling Jason Witten when it came to blocking too. So it was pretty much the same thing. But do you think I understand we're not trying to be too predictable on our plays. Do you think the reason why Larry Donnell is in there so that we're not predictable whether we're going to pass or run?
No, he's in there in the hopes that he can – like a block today – like there was a great tight end played for Dallas years ago, Novacek. Jay would just get in the way. He didn't blow nobody off the ball. He wasn't grinding and rumbling and doing all this stuff. It was Michael Irvin, Novacek, and Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman. And Emmitt ran everywhere. But it wasn't because Jay was blowing anybody up. No. He was just getting in the way a little bit. And by the way, Jay went to the Pro Bowl every year. If he makes a block right now, blocking somebody in at the supermarket, be the first block he's thrown. And I love Jay. That's just part of it.
Oh, guys, well, thank you so much, guys. You guys do a great job, and go Blue.
All right, have a good one.
Thank you. 10 minutes left on the program, 201-939-4513. Tommy from New Jersey. We finally got a New Jersey call.
Hey, somebody's in home.
Go ahead, Tommy. Hey. You're next.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi.
Hey, Paul, you know what I expected to see a lot more of, especially with the rookie quarterback against Dallas, was a little more of the NASCAR. And do you know how many plays Double O was actually in the game? I really thought
I can look that up for you. But
because I was going to say, I really thought that this year, you know, we were going to see a little bit more of when Tuck was just breaking in where they put him in at tackle and you know you got another pass rusher in there instead of, you know, putting Wynn, you know, in there. I thought Double O would really fill that slot this year.
Well, think of it this way. I know what you're saying and I understand, but when they were passing downs, they probably had the NASCAR in there. When it's third and three, third and whatever, third and two, if they ever got to a third and three or third and two, you can't put NASCAR in there when they have the ability still to run the ball.
Understood.
Yeah, so what you got was they had the dinking and dunking going on. So it's first and 10, second and six, or second and five. Then it's third and two, third and one. It just wasn't – every time they put him back where it was third and eight or better, you put pass rushers in to get after him.
All right, now Oa played 17 snaps, okay, and he was the third most used defensive end in the game. JPP played 76, Vernon played 74, Oa played 17. So, did you want to take some snaps away from JPP and Vernon? They
no,
were playing well.
Absolutely not. Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely not.
They were playing well.
And I didn't realize that Double O played, you know, that many snaps.
Not a lot. It's only 22%. But,
yeah.
You know, again, remember now, if so-and-so's on the field, somebody's got to come off. And those other two guys were doing really well.
Yes, they did. But the NASCAR package he's talking about back in the day when they used to get guys in the third and long and they put the four pass rushers
in. Oh, he wanted to move him in. He wanted to play Oa inside with those two guys on the outside.
The reason why it just didn't work out was because there wasn't a lot of third and longs.
Well, for your DTs, Hankins played 52, Harrison played 51, and you know what? There's no other defensive lineman other than the starting four who played more than Oa. Oa did play the fifth most snaps of the mm-hmm. defensive lineman in the game. So, to be honest, I know maybe you wanted to see him more, but the ratio indicated he was the first guy coming off the bench.
Okay, and to Howard's point, I think the pure NASCAR, we may see a bit more this week when you got Breeze in there, and there's not going to be as much dinking and dunking as there was with, you know, the rookie quarterback this Sunday past.
Yeah, the NASCAR is distinctly put there for the passing situation.
Yep.
So if it's first and 10, you're not going to see it. If it's second and four, you're not going to see it. If it's third and long, second and long, you're going to start see it creeping in because they're going to put it in to get after the quarterback.
Okay. Just one last question. I'll let you guys go. I thought, and this isn't to say he's not going to develop to that point, but I thought when Devin Kennard, when we drafted him, I just thought he was going to be a really, really special linebackers. I mean, I grew up, you know, obviously with the Banks and the LTs and,
sure.
and the Carsons and everything. Obviously, they only come around once in a lifetime, but I really thought Kennard was going to be that, just be special. I haven't seen that, and you guys are the experts. I mean, I'd love to hear what you think about that. You know, what your thoughts are on him.
I'll just say this. He's had injuries that have hurt him for sure. He's played on some defenses that weren't very good, which kind of bring the level of everybody down. And to me, he's still a developing player. And I think he would probably tell you, Howard, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first time in his career, either college or pro, he's had the same defensive coordinator in back-to-back seasons.
Yes. And I'll also say that he was even injured when he was in college.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, play that into the factor of what you're asking. The other thing you got to ask yourself is – there aren't going to be many more LTs and Carl and Carl Banks. And they're not going to be very
this
many.
This is true.
And Carl Banks is up for, you know, a nominee for the Hall of Fame, right?
He's
that good of a player. They're not going to just be – they're not guys walking around, even in colleges, it's like the Genevian Clowney. He's going to be – okay, well, he's all right. Like, there's just not a lot of guys – that are like that, that, you know, like a, you're not going to walk up and go like, okay, you're Derek Thomas, go get him. Like,
right.
I wish there were guys like that, but there's just not a lot
of
guys.
So do GMs.
Yeah, I mean,
every GM wishes.
When you go sit down and you look at players today, and you're seeing them, you're seeing athletes. And right, and so I keep telling people this, athletes are awesome, but they're not football players. Lawrence was a football player.
Yeah,
he was a great athlete, but he was a football player. Carl Banks was a football player. Harry Carson went from D tackle to linebacker, football player.
Jesse Armstead
went from corner in college.
Safety.
He was corner in high school.
Was he
went to safety.
In high school?
Hurt his knee. Moved down to linebacker, football player.
Yeah, I think we got spoiled by seeing guys like that, by seeing Brad Van Hope, by seeing Pepper Johnson, by seeing Brian Kelly. I mean, these guys were they were great. I just, and again, as you said,
hey, I go back to Jim Files. Remember that?
I'm sorry.
I go back to Jim Files too.
Yeah, well,
so that's the thing. I want all the fans to always realize, like, hey. It was a snapshot of how great things were, but we have evolved totally.
Tommy, we got to run because I want to get these other two calls in. Go ahead, finish your thought.
I mean, yeah, but the evolution of the player is everything from the training that they're doing, how they're doing it, where they're coming up. They come in specialized to do something. They want to do that great. That's what we're seeing.
Tommy, Alex, you're next on the line. Line two from Sacramento, California. Running out of time. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Originally from the Bronx here, so, you know, far away but close to home, you know.
Nice.
Really appreciate the day. I have a very specific question, and it's related. It actually comes back to exactly what you were talking about with the defense. But I think a key to watching this game, I was a little disappointed with the last game. I want to get your thoughts on this because I think it's more important this week, was Brad Wing, when he had opportunities. We had opportunities a few times where we get down to the 50 or so, and with a nice directional punt, we could, you know, potentially have put Dallas back behind the 20. And I think that's going to be pivotal this week against New Orleans because if you can kind of trap Drew back there, it limits their options somewhat as far as getting some of these deep passes on us. So last week, three opportunities, he kicked it right down the middle of the field where it landed at like the 3 and it rolled in about 10 yards. It wasn't anywhere close to even trying. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a difficult kick. But Brad Wing, we have faith in this guy. And I think that if we're going to win, we have to kind of maximize that part of our special teams.
Alex,
that stuck out to you.
All right, I want to invite you to call Jeff Fiegels on Friday when he does the show because he could tell you everything about punting because he's a scientist. I will say this, though.
True.
Giants do like Brad Wing very much. That rugby kick that he has, because he's an Aussie, is a very, very good weapon to have. He tried that a number of times in Dallas, even on the last punt that he tried, and unfortunately it didn't bounce the way it was supposed to, and it didn't work. And I appreciate your thoughts, but he's pretty good.
Let's put it like this, and this is some inside stuff for you. So I was getting my stuff ready to go to our TV hit. Brad Wing comes in. He's breaking his helmet. He's going nuts. I'm like, what did he do? I was like scared. Like, what's wrong with him? And it's just because he didn't hit it the way he wanted to hit it. So,
all right.
I mean,
I love that. That's great.
As
that makes
much
happy,
as you're upset,
you know, like he was trying. All
he
right.
was way upset. It killed him that it didn't work out the way he did. So, you know, he's out there now probably
okay.
kicking his leg off. So it's not something that went unnoticed, especially by the punter himself.
Sure. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it. Well, we got to go real quick. Robert, we got about a minute or so left. Go ahead. Hello.
Thank you. Yes, hello. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Thanks. Hey, Howard, I just wanted to agree with that one caller. You were truly a great New York Giant tie-in, and I'm a longtime fan.
Thank you.
But, you know, to the point that one commentator had made, you know, one of the things in terms of our championship years, we fell off a cliff, unlike the New England's. And to be frank with you, there have been many times in and over the years, I wish they would have fired Eli Manning. Granted, he's won two Super Bowl championships, but even in those years, he was shaky a lot, at least 2 to 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we're hesitant is because we've had 3 lag years and these other great organizations, they don't seem to have the lag years. But the team appears to be a hell of a lot better than they were. Yeah. And I'll let you comment.
Well,
thank you for the call.
That's a good call. Thank you. I think that, you know, when we think of New England has the benefit of having the Jets in their division who just don't go to the playoffs.
Buffalo hasn't gone to the playoffs in forever,
and they never probably will, unfortunately for Rex and those guys. And Miami, who they seem like every year that they're the team to go, but they're not going to go. As far as the other team, I would say it's a great, great staple. I would say Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh has the toughest division, and they find a way almost every year. They had a little bit of a lag lately, but again, it's just we continuously think that everything's going to work. I'll take the 2 Super Bowls. I'll take a Super Bowl every 10 years. I'll be happy. I won't take, you know, going to the playoffs every year and never really getting anything out of it. I don't want to be Cincinnati. I don't want to go for the last 5 or 6 years, go to Super Bowl, I mean, go to the playoffs every year and lose in the first round. Doesn't do me any good.
Howard, I put it in perspective recently. Mm-hmm. I counted. This is my 34th year covering the Giants, okay?
You're an old dude, man.
Yeah, I am an old dude. And if I'm not mistaken, they've gone to the playoffs 15 out of my 34 years.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's been a lot of fun. And I know a lot of people in this business who cover a team 10, 12, 15, 20 years. They don't get there that much.
Let me make it easier for fans. First year, NFC champs. Second year, Super Bowl. Third year, fourth year. Fifth year, shot at getting into the playoffs again. Sixth year, seventh year. 8th year, 9th year, we're in the playoffs again. 10th year, 11th year, 13th year, we went to the Super Bowl. 12th year, we went to the Super Bowl. Then 13th year. So, like, more than half of my career, you're playing. And I didn't change. You know, I was still grinding and everything. It just doesn't work the way we want. We want instant gratification. I get it. I'm with you guys. I want it myself. You know, hopefully I win Lotto, I'll get it.
You go share it with me, right?
Yeah, okay. But it's just not the way things work. I'm here for the long haul.
And me too, Howard.
And I enjoy being here up years, down years. And I'm glad you guys are watching.
They're stuck with us. He's Howard Cross. I'm Paul Dottino. You've been watching Big Blue Kickoff Live. We are here every Monday to Friday from 12 noon Eastern time for 1 hour to talk about Giants football. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.